Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Sangamai. Hi, everyone. This is Lena, and you've tuned into Inner Spark Radio, a weekly show in which I talk with experts about ways to ignite the spark within. You can learn more about our upcoming shows, as well as listen to archive shows at innersparkradio.com, on Blog Talk Radio, and on iTunes. And Sangamai, I know you're there, right?
Yes. Hi, Lena.
Yes, good. Okay, hi. I just want to introduce you, and then we will get going. So today's guest is Sangamai Ordonia, and she's going to talk with us all about essential oils as related to Chinese medicine and give us some specific oils for physical, mental, and emotional healing. And I know Sangamai personally as a very skilled and intuitive practitioner. She is a licensed acupuncturist. She's a Qinisang massage therapist, and she's a Qigong practitioner from the San Francisco Bay Area. And she's been studying and incorporating essential oils into her treatments for the past 10 years because of their extremely powerful transformative effects on physical conditions and, as she says, especially on emotional states. So hello again.
Hey, Anna. I wanted to thank you for inviting me to have this conversation with you, and thank you for that introduction. I did want to say before we start that I would like to thank Jeffrey Yuen, who is my favorite teacher, and he is the 88th generation Taoist master of the Jade Purity School. He is also a world-renowned lecturer on Chinese medicine and Taoism, and he offers invaluable insights into the use of essential oils according to Chinese medical principles. He's really done some groundbreaking work in that area. And when he lectures, he's like a walking stream of consciousness, poetic encyclopedia of Chinese medicine. So the information that I'll be sharing with you today is based on lectures by Jeffrey.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being on the show and for sharing, you know, your wisdom. And it's going to be exciting to hear what you've, you know, learned and incorporated and experienced through your work with Jeffrey, you said, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is going to be exciting. So, but before we go right into the essential oils, I just wondered if you would take a moment and just share with us what initially drew you to Chinese medicine, and also just very briefly, because I mentioned Qinisang as one of the things you do, and I think probably many people don't know what that is, so just briefly explain for people too what that is.
Okay. Well, I was first drawn to Chinese medicine because, well, I should say that ever since I was a child, I have loved doing massage. I used to give massage certificates to my father when I was a child, like starting when I was about 8 years old. And I began to study acupressure. Actually, I started studying acupressure because I was at a friend's house and I was feeling very ill, and he pressed 2 points on me, and everything I felt just suddenly went away, and I was amazed by that. So I decided to study acupressure, and that led me to study shiatsu. And I eventually began to study Thai massage and then Qinisang. Qinisang is a form of Taoist abdominal massage that is based on the tenet that emotional charges can be held anywhere within the body. And because the organs, the internal organs are a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is the universe, you can have tremendous effects on the emotional state of the person that you're working on. By working on their organs, you can have tremendous transformative effects on them. And this style of massage was actually developed initially to purify their qi. Taoist monks invented it to purify their qi so they could reach higher states of realization.
Yeah, and I would say just too from personal experience that it can be very powerful and very transformative in my work with you. So, I mean, just to let people know if that's something that they want to explore further. I love that you gave your father massage certificates as such a young child. And the seeds were definitely there. Hmm?
Yeah, and it's funny because I was just visiting my brother and his kids. They're 6 years old, they're twins, and I have video of my brother's 6-year-old daughter walking on his back and saying that he's massaging his back by walking on him, which is awesome because that's what I do in barefoot shiatsu.
Uh-huh.
But she did this on her own.
That's very cute. Yeah, obviously something in the lineage. Well, okay, so why don't we go then right into the essential oils. What do you mean when you say you want to talk about or you've learned about essential oils in terms of Chinese medicine as opposed to, you know, essential oils where someone might say, well, just put some, you know, lavender on your pillow for relaxation or whatever. So I'd love to know what you mean by that.
Right. So essential oils resonate with the essence of the human being, which in Chinese medicine we call jing. Okay. What is jing? When a man and a woman conceive a child, their sexual energy blends to form what we call prenatal jing. And both the mother and the father supply this jing. Prenatal jing is the essence that determines the constitution that you're born with. It determines your built-in strength. It determines your ability to fight illness and to be mentally and physically healthy. It is very much related to growth, development, reproduction. It's the origin of our constitutional strength, so it's very much connected to the immune system. So if your jing, your essence, is deficient, your immune system is also going to have some deficiency in it. The jing also produces the marrow. The marrow meaning what you have in the bones, the spinal cord, and the brain. But by marrow, I also mean that it's marrow is something that comes from the jing. The jing is stored in the kidneys, and it alchemically changes into the shen, which is the spirit, and it also changes into the brain, which we call the sea of marrow. Okay, so essential oils work not only on the spirit, but also the marrow because of the essence of the plant, which means since it's working on the marrow, it's also working on the brain. And you can see very easily how it would have effects on emotional states. And in fact, essential oils work on the spirit first. Okay? And when you diffuse oils, the idea is to very quickly affect the psyche.
Okay, so I wonder if you could say just a little bit more about that in terms of just how, just for me, for some clarity, and I don't know if anyone else would have any need for that, but just again, because I thought that maybe there was something about how it affected the brain with the smell, but could you just sort of repeat that again, how it affects the spirit?
It does affect the brain. The idea is that essential oils, since they resonate with the essence of the human being, when you diffuse essential oils, they're going to resonate with the essence within you, and one of the manifestations of that essence is your marrow. And in Chinese medicine, the brain is called the sea of marrow. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And so, jing, your essence, from which the term essential oil would come in this context, jing is stored in the kidneys and it alchemically changes into the spirit, which we call shen, and it also changes into the brain, which is the sea of marrow. It changes into the marrow, and Jeffrey says that marrow is essence that has been experienced. So it's when you take the jing and you experience the jing as you live throughout your life, that is marrow.
Okay. So in terms of the essential oils, would you explain a little bit about, is it just, this is, you know, I mean, for people who don't know very much about essential oils at all, so are they comprised of just herbs, flowers? What's the essence of the essential oils usually?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by what's the essence of the essential oils, but essential oils are often made from flowers. They could be made from spices. They could be made from citrus peels. They could be made from roots or leaves. So it's not just flowers, but I think that people often think of flowers because probably some of the most commonly used essential oils are things like lavender and rose. And so, of course, everyone knows those are flowers. And those
right.
those are two very, very powerful essential oils. But essential oils are not just distilled from flowers.
Yes, thank you. I didn't word that correctly, but that's what I meant, just to give an overview of what that would constitute. So in terms of different ways that people can experience the applications of the oils, could you talk a little bit about what you think, I mean, benefits to different ways, you know, direct contact versus diffusing, and what people would think about doing, when people would think about doing one versus another, or if it makes
okay.
a difference, I don't know.
Okay. It can make a difference. I'm an acupuncturist, so one of my favorite ways to use essential oils is by applying them directly to acupuncture points. They can be very, very powerful that way because you're not only using the properties of the oils, but they're being reinforced by the functions of the essential oils that the functions of the acupuncture points that you're using. Since I want this information to be accessible to anyone who's listening, and I'm assuming that most of the people who are listening are not acupuncturists, I'm not going to talk about acupuncture points.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the principal way that I use them in my practice. As I mentioned earlier, they're very powerful also when you diffuse them. When you diffuse them, they very, very quickly have an effect on the psyche. So, for example, you could diffuse them in a psychiatric ward to relax the patients. One of my patients had a daughter who was 2 years old, and she was very restless at night, and she couldn't fall asleep. And so I recommended that she diffuse some lavender oil at the bedside of her child, and she found that when she did that, the child slept perfectly, slept all the way through the night, and fell asleep very easily.
Ooh,
so,
nice.
It's a very, very powerful way to affect emotional and mental states. So with diffusion, I'm talking about using diffusers come in many different forms. You could use the kind that has that ceramic that has a little bowl on top where you put some water and then you put some drops of the essential oil in there, and then you have the tea light under it that creates the heat. But now they have some that you can just plug into the wall, and there's like a little tablet that you put the oil on. Another very powerful way to use essential oils is through inhalation. Many people are familiar with inhalation when they get sick, like when you have a sinus infection. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, if you're doing inhalation without a diffuser, you can take, let's say, 2 pints of water and heat it up, and then add, say, 5 to 10 drops of a blend or a single oil, and then you can put a towel over your head and inhale it that way. I really like to do that for patients who, for example, have sinus infections. One of my patients had a sinus infection recently, where, not to get too graphic, but there was lots of green and yellow phlegm, and she was just miserable. She wasn't breathing well. She couldn't sleep. So she did a blend of thyme linalool with some lavender and some peppermint, and she put about 10 drops in a quart of hot water and then put a towel over her head and breathed it in like 3 times a day, and her sinus infection went away almost immediately.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've done that as well at times when I've had sinus issues, and it brings emotion, it brings mental relief too. I mean, because there's pleasure in inhaling often the smell of whatever, you know, whatever it is.
But it can be very relaxing.
It can be relaxing, nice, yeah.
It's nice to steam your pores open.
Right. Beauty on the side as well as healing.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you something related to the smell piece. This was just a curiosity I had. If I know you're going to get into specific oils for specific things, but for example, if someone was told, try this oil for this, or, you know, this is a nice oil for that, and they smell it and they really don't like it, is that an indication that it might not be necessarily good for them, or is that not necessarily true? You may not like the smell and it may still work very well for you. In other words, is it better if you're drawn to something? Does that mean anything, or not necessarily?
Well, that's an excellent question, actually, because for me, whether or not someone is drawn to a smell is often very diagnostic. So when someone comes in and we talk about what it is they'd like to work on, I look at their tongue, check their pulse, and then I come up with ideas for oils that I would like to use, particularly with a new patient who has never worked with essential oils. I will always have them smell any of the oils that I want to use with them first. And if they decide that they don't like certain oils, because oils can relate to different levels of how deep something is in the body, and that can be how deep something is emotionally also, it can tell me at which level they are ready to work on something.
So
an example of this is that I wanted to use what we would call a base note oil, an oil that evaporates very slowly. Base notes tend to be more mysterious oils. It takes a long time for them to unravel what they want to show you. And this also meant that this person would have to go deeper into what their issue was. They smelled the oil and they immediately said, "No way. I hate the smell of that oil. I hate it whenever anyone's wearing that oil. I have to leave the room." So I knew immediately that they were not ready to work on that particular issue at that level. So it meant I had to go to a different level and find an oil at the next level up, closer to the surface, that would be pleasing to them, or at least not offensive to them.
That's really interesting. I mean, that's deeper than I would have imagined. I was sort of thinking a little bit more black and white, like, oh, this will be helpful or this won't. Potentially, I wasn't sure, like if someone liked the smell or they didn't, but I didn't realize, I mean, it corresponded to the levels of willingness unconsciously or on some level, you know, to be able to work with something at that moment. That's interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would say that if you have some knowledge of essential oils and you know that certain oils are good for certain things, smell them before you use them and decide which ones you're most attracted to. Because if you're more attracted to them, their effect is probably going to be much greater.
Yeah, that's good to know. Definitely good to know. And also I was wondering, do you know how far back essential oils were used with Chinese medicine? Does this go way back or not necessarily that far back in conjunction with acupuncture points?
It does go back quite a long way. I don't have exact dates, but I have heard in lectures that it's definitely been a part of Chinese medicine for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that in the Chinese essential oil formulary there were as many oils in the past when, say, herbal textbooks were being written as there are today. There's been a lot more exploration into essential oils in recent centuries, so there's a lot more information about it now, but there definitely is a history of that use in Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about we dive... Yes, I can hear you. You can speak even a little bit louder. I think that would be fine. Yeah. So I was going to say, how about we dive in since it's winter time and I'm hearing people chatting in different places about colds and flus and things like that.
Okay.
Why don't we start with what you think would be good essential oils for people to explore for that cold and flu season?
Okay. So when we're talking about using essential oils for colds, we're talking about using them at what we would call the Wei Qi level. Qi here is vital energy, and the Wei Qi is the body's initial defense system, and it's closer to the surface. It deals with what we would call external pathogens, things that invade the body and cause illness, okay? And when we're talking about catch cold in Chinese medicine, we're talking about the invasion of pathogens that we call things like wind cold or wind heat. Okay, those are the most common. Okay, so when you're talking about catch cold in Chinese medicine, if you're talking about wind cold, then you have more cold symptoms. You have more chills. You have an aversion to cold. You don't want to eat or drink cold things. Your tongue is if you have phlegm, it tends to have more of a white coat on it. You feel your pulse is slower. Okay, so when you're using essential oils for a catch cold situation, let's say wind cold in this case, you want to use oils that are going to be what we would say are uplifting. They move up and they pull the pathogen up and out. Okay, and in this case, they would also treat cold. Okay, and when you're talking about the Wei Qi level, you're talking about things that have an immediate effect. So if you're talking about essential oils for wind cold, you're talking about oils like wintergreen or birch, which energetically is similar to wintergreen, or cinnamon leaf. I'm not talking about cinnamon bark here, but cinnamon leaf, or pine. And, since we're not talking about acupuncture points in this discussion, you could do an inhalation with those oils. One of the interesting things about the Wei Qi level is that you could use those oils for wind cold, like catch cold, but you could also use them to affect tendinomuscular problems, okay, because of where the Wei Qi runs in the body. Okay, so Wei Qi oils will have an effect on the tonus of muscles. Okay, so for example, if you go outside and a cold wind invades your shoulders and you, let's say you wake up in the morning and your neck and shoulders are really stiff, you could use Wei Qi oils for wind cold and rub them in that area in a liniment. Okay, if you wanted to make something like you could add them to an oil, a carrier oil, and rub it in that area. Okay, so
like almond oil or sesame oil, or which oils do you recommend? Sorry,
sweet almond oil is very, very commonly used in massage. It's very gentle for the skin. So that would be a good choice.
Okay. Good. Sorry, I interrupted you, but I just wanted to ask you about the oils, but I think I interrupted your flow there.
Oh, no, that's okay. So if it's wind cold, also, going back to the catch cold discussion, if you want to do an inhalation, you could think about using wintergreen, for example, and you might add in an oil like eucalyptus globulus. If you have what we would call cold phlegm, meaning your phlegm tends to be white and not yellow, okay? That's important because if it's yellow, then you don't want to use eucalyptus globulus. You would use another kind of eucalyptus, okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so wind cold, and then I guess you're going to describe wind heat?
Okay. So with wind heat, It's the same idea, except you're going to use an essential oil that not only pulls it up and out, but that also treats heat. And so then we're thinking about oils like peppermint or spearmint. In terms of eucalyptus, if it's, for example, sinus congestion with wind heat, then eucalyptus radiata is very good for that. Okay. Now, a lot of people think that eucalyptus has a very, very strong smell. If you're finding that the eucalyptus is a little overwhelming for you, all you have to do is just put fewer drops of it in the formula, in the blend.
Okay. Right. Or your or your office mates.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay, good. And then, and again, like if people were going to, let's say they might, it might be hard to do the inhalation because they're out and about for most of the day or something, and they wanted to just put it, you know, somewhere on their skin to get it in there. How many, roughly, you know, how many applications a day would you suggest?
Well, you're talking about oils that you want to have an immediate effect. If you're, are you talking about like rubbing it on the chest?
Or anywhere. I'm just thinking like, well, if someone can't do an inhalation and, you know, because they're out from morning till evening, and but they want to get some essential oil use, and like, let's say they want to just put a little on somewhere on their skin, I assume it's okay to put it anywhere? Is that true or not true?
In this case, you could put it, if you have, for example, a cough, you could put it directly in the center of the chest to, that's a point called REN 17 that opens up the chest. That would be good for cough. If you want it to affect your sinuses, you could, rub a little bit into, the depressions at the base of your skull that are on either side of your spine, where your spine goes into your skull. You'll feel some depressions there that often feel good when you have a headache, when your neck is tight. That will affect the sinus, the sinus area to help clear nasal congestion.
Okay, so that's good to know. I guess I'm wondering, would it be useful if they didn't put it necessarily on a specific point, but they just wanted to get it on them? Is it also okay just to kind of put it somewhere on your body?
You mean like on your foot or
on
your
elbow? Hands. Mm-hmm. Your hands or your foot or anything like that.
I wouldn't do it just randomly for catch cold. I would definitely choose an area where it would have more of an effect. If you put it on your foot, I don't think it's really going to help you very much.
Okay.
Or like your, you know, the point of your elbow is not going to help you very much. But there are points, many points all over the body that could be useful just depending on where you put them.
Okay, that's good to know, because I was thinking, oh, as long as it makes contact and sort of penetrates your skin and sort of gets into your system, that it might have an effect. But that's actually good to know that it's fairly specific, I guess, for cold, you're saying. But is that also true for any of the other emotional issues, that it would be best to do either do the diffusion or, you know, a specific point that you have to learn about and not just put it randomly anywhere?
Well, in general, with essential oils, in terms of putting them on your body, I would tend to discourage just putting them randomly anywhere, because oils have very specific properties. And for example, if you're using an essential oil for hypertension, I think that you want to put it more places that are going to be useful for hypertension.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's actually beneficial for me, I'm sure also for other people, because although I know you and I know I've worked with the essential oils and points, so I know that there's definitely the usefulness and the methodology for that, but I kind of thought also that, oh, you know, if you get it on your skin and into your system, that it would still be beneficial. So this is actually really, really helpful information to know, that diffusion in a lot of cases would be better. it
and
seems.
With that season, it's going to be hard for you to go wrong because
yeah.
you don't have to worry about putting it in an area that isn't really going to do anything. That's a very interesting question, though, because I just never think that way.
Yeah.
And because I'm an acupuncturist, I tend to get very specific about where I put things on the body. So it's good to know that that's one way to think of it. And so I'll know in the future to tell my patients that it would be better that they not do that.
Yeah. If they're like me, oh, I'll just put some on my hand or, you know, whatever. Just as long as I sort of make some contact with it. So, yeah, that's actually very helpful. Thank you. Well, I want to make sure with the timing that we have time for the different categories. So there are lots of physical things we can address, but let's at least rotate down for the moment to some emotional issues, oils for emotional issues. This is going to be different than oils for the spirit, correct?
Well,
or no? Are they the same?
The thing about Chinese medicine is that there is really no separation between body and mind and spirit. So essential oils are basically going to have an effect on all of them, but you can use them in specific ways. At specific times, on specific points, for example, in specific combinations, to focus more on certain effects.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, if we think about it in the way we've been talking about it, then mostly in a sense of something like a diffusion, if we talk about, let's see, like stress and anxiety, what are some of the... your favorite oils for stress and anxiety?
Well, stress and anxiety are two of the most common problems that people bring to the clinic, to my practice. So there are quite a few oils for that. Among my favorites, for stress in Chinese medicine, stress is often related to what we call liver qi stagnation. The liver is an organ that is responsible for regulating the flow of your qi, the flow of your vital energy through the body. But the liver has like 500 jobs to do. Even in Western medicine, it has just a million jobs to do. And so when it gets stressed out, it just basically says, I can't take care of all of these things. So it won't regulate the flow of your qi as well. And then your qi gets stuck. Okay, and that can cause various problems like headache. It could cause PMS, it can cause depression. Stress is definitely something that it's important to work with. Okay. An essential oil that's really good for liver qi stagnation is one of the most popular ones, and it's popular for very good reasons, and that is lavender. Lavender is what we would call a middle note oil, meaning there are different notes, meaning rates of evaporation. There are top notes, middle notes, and base notes. It is a middle note oil, so that means that it takes about 4 to 8 hours to evaporate. And this becomes important, for example, when you're trying to figure out how often you should use an oil, like how often you should diffuse it in order to have an effect on yourself
mm-hmm.
or on the person you're treating. So just so you know, lavender can fall in that category. So lavender is very good for stress. It's very good for PMS. It's also very good for anxiety. It affects the blood. It affects the spleen, which in Chinese medicine is an organ that makes blood. So if you, for example, have deficient blood because you were hemorrhaging, maybe you bled too much during your period, it can be very good for helping to build your blood back. Also for anxiety, one of my favorite oils to use is Ylang Ylang. Okay? Those of you who aren't as familiar with that oil, it comes from a tropical flower. It has a really beautiful, fragrant floral smell. Most of my female patients really like it. Ylang Ylang is a very, very relaxing oil, and another reason why I like it is because It's very good for anger.
Mm.
And it's very good in particular for someone who can't stop talking about their anger. Like they just, they seem to want to talk about it endlessly, and it never seems to be enough of a release for them to talk about it. So this helps to sort of relax them to the point that they don't feel the need to constantly hit that button again and again and again
mm-hmm.
to keep on talking about it. And I have used that quite a bit. I used it with a patient who had this issue, and we talked about the fact that she was often thinking about her anger and talking about her anger, and she had some ylang ylang at home, and she had bought it when she was in another country. And we decided to do a little experiment and have her bring her ylang ylang in, and we used that instead during the treatment instead of the oil that I was using. And we found that it didn't have as strong an effect. And the reason I'm saying this is because essential oils, the quality of an essential oil can very much affect the power of the oil. Okay? So if an oil has been adulterated, if it's not a pure essential oil, it is not going to have as strong an effect.
Thank you for, I was going to ask you that later, a little bit later, but I'm so glad you brought that up, just about what we should look for as consumers when choosing an essential oil brand. So unadulterated and organic, I assume.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah. And so
okay,
just
so you had asked me about stress and anxiety. Did I cover all
Yeah, stress
that?
And anxiety. I was going to ask you, is ylang ylang, and that's Y-L-A-N-G for people who may have, that may be the first time they're hearing about it, right? Y-L-A-N-G?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, I meant to spell it and I forgot.
No, that's okay. Is that a middle note also, or?
Ylang ylang is normally considered to be more of a middle note oil, but there are different grades of it. There are five different grades of it, and the highest grade of it, which is called ylang ylang extra, is called that because it's distilled longer, and so that extra distillation has actually brings it closer to a base note, meaning that it's going to take longer to evaporate, and a base note oil can take up to 2 days to evaporate. So that's important to know in terms of how often you think you need to apply it to yourself or diffuse it, for example. And it will also have an effect on how frequently you need to apply a blend if you put a base note into a blend.
Okay, so let me just see if what I'm thinking is correct based on what you've said. So if a lavender is this right? If lavender is 4 to 8 hours, that means roughly twice a day would be maximum,
exactly.
Twice a day, and then ylang ylang, you would just diffuse one every 2 days.
Right.
Okay.
And if you blend ylang ylang and lavender together, which I certainly have done, you would still do it twice a day.
Okay, because of the lavender.
Right.
In there. Okay.
The lavender.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was finished.
Okay. So we were, we were on stress and anxiety, but then just let's actually just finish this piece since you brought up the quality of the oils, the importance of the quality of the oils. I guess I want to make sure too that I'm sure there are many or several, at least, very good brands out there. But I wonder if you have a favorite or a couple favorites that you might want to share.
Absolutely. My favorite company that I get oils from is actually located here in San Rafael, and they're called Original Swiss Aromatics. So if you want to get on their website, it's originalswissaromatics.com. They are related to the Pacific Institute of Aromatherapy, which was founded by Kurt Schnaubelt, And he has done a lot of work on the medical uses of aromatherapy from a Western viewpoint. He's worked a lot on their chemical composition. He's written a couple of books. And at the Pacific Institute of Aromatherapy in San Rafael, you can take classes on the medical uses of aromatherapy. I love their oils. They smell wonderful. They smell very clean and pure to me. But the thing is that sometimes there are oils that I can't get there because they just don't offer them, or maybe they're out of stock of them, or maybe the price point isn't as attractive as the price point at another company. So another company that I sometimes use is called Oshadi. That's O-S-H-A-D-H-I. And some Oshadi oils are actually available at Rainbow Grocery on Folsom Street in San Francisco. If I buy the same, sometimes I've bought the same oil from Oshadi and from Original Swiss Aromatics, and I tend to prefer the ones from Original Swiss Aromatics. So I go to Oshadi when I can't find that oil at Original Swiss Aromatics. One other place that I have bought some oils from is Sun Rose Aromatics. And they're an interesting company because they offer some oils that are hard to find in other places.
Well, that's great information. Thank you. I mean, because I know you're so, you're so knowledgeable, and you know what to look for and what goes into it. And plus, you have so much experiential use with the oil. So this is really great information because there's so many to choose from, right? So many companies out there. Yeah. So thank you for that. Very valuable. So maybe let's see if we can go on to one more, and then I'd like to hear about maybe your top couple of oils in general. But how about digestive issues? That's a very broad topic, but I don't know how we might break that down. But digestive issues for an oil.
Okay. So earlier I had talked about the Wei Qi level when we were talking about catch cold. So the Wei Qi level would be the most superficial level. The next level after the Wei Qi level is the Ying Qi level. That's Y-I-N-G. And sorry, I didn't spell Wei earlier. Wei is spelled W-E-I. The Ying Qi level is deeper than the Wei Qi level. Ying Qi is also translated as nourishing Qi. And it's a level that very much relates to the blood. And it also has a lot of oils that relate to that level that are spices. And the spice oils are the oils that are used for digestion.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
It would seem to make sense. Not just spice oils. Citrus oils also fall in this category. Citrus oils are also used for digestive stuff, but it's pretty easy to see why spices would be used for digestion. And I'm talking about many different spices like coriander, ginger, garlic, marjoram, fennel. Those oils are very commonly used. Among those, I'm sort of taking away from what I was going to say later, but in terms of my favorite oils, coriander is one of my favorite oils. And one of the reasons for that is actually the way it smells. When we're thinking about spice oils and you say things like coriander, cumin, ginger, you might think of the smell, for example, of an Indian restaurant. And I actually used cumin once with one of my patients for its ability to aid her digestion, to help her digest better. She was having some trouble with indigestion and bloating, and she was willing to try it. But the next time I saw her, she said, "I just couldn't do it. I couldn't walk around all day smelling like cumin." So one of the reasons I like coriander is it actually has a very fresh smell. and you won't smell like a restaurant if you put it on.
Your coworkers will agree to work with you if you...
Yes, they may thank you for making that change.
Yes.
So coriander is a great oil for what we would call rebel chi or rebellious chi, meaning chi that's going up instead of going down. Stomach chi ideally goes down, because when it doesn't, you get nausea, you get vomiting, you get belching, and it's also good for too much chi going down and out, meaning flatulence.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly, on an emotional level, it's also very good for lethargy, for depression, for frustration. Another spice oil that is good for example, promoting appetite for people who have a low appetite, for poor appetite, is nutmeg. And nutmeg is all these oils I've mentioned so far, like coriander, ginger, garlic, nutmeg. These are all warming oils. They're very moving. They improve the circulation of blood. And the reason that's important is because when someone is very depressed, often they will go into a state of withdrawal, which we would think of as a cold state, where they're not moving, they're not reaching out, they're not interacting. And in order to warm them up and get them moving more so that they will want to interact more with the world, with friends and family, you can give them something like nutmeg. And I've used coriander for this purpose, and it actually works really well.
Oh, that's good to know. Really
now,
good
one
to
more
know.
Thing I'd like, one more thing I'd like to say about coriander in terms of spleen qi. In Chinese medicine, the spleen is a digestive organ. It takes the food that you eat and transforms it into qi, into vital energy. Now, if your spleen is weak, it won't perform that function as well, so you won't get as much qi from your food. And also, your spleen qi can get depleted just by worrying a lot or by working a lot. And if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, you may be doing both of those things a lot, since it's very expensive to live here.
Right.
So I have a lot of patients who have spleen qi deficiency, and I use coriander with them, and it's very, very good for that. Oops.
And is that one where, without getting to a certain a specific point that people would have to, an acupuncture or acupressure point, is that one that they could sort of potentially topically put sort of right in the stomach area or right below the stomach, or would you still recommend don't necessarily just put it there, but
so when you say I'm sorry, Lena, when you say stomach, do you mean like literally physically where the stomach is located, the stomach organ specifically?
Literally the stomach, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I wouldn't think of necessarily putting it over the stomach, but you could try putting it over, well, it depends. If you're having problems with rebel qi, meaning your qi going up instead of going down, and you don't know anything about acupuncture, I would think more of rubbing it in the area between the bottom of your breastbone and above your belly button. Because there's a point in that area that makes qi descend, that makes rebel stomach qi go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if it's more a matter of your spleen qi being deficient and like maybe you're tired, your appetite is low, then I would think of rubbing it more. Well, you could rub it in that area. You could also rub it on the lower abdomen below the belly button, because there's a point there that will help strengthen your spleen qi.
Ah, okay. That's good to know. So, yeah, that's so interesting about coriander. Now I'm so curious. I'm going to smell coriander next time I'm at Rainbow Grocery. I'm going to make sure I find it and smell exactly what it smells like, because I can see why it might, you know, it covers so many layers, why it's one of your favorites. So tell us about one or two, at least two of your other favorites and why.
Well, I think I've actually talked about, have I talked about all of them now? I mentioned lavender, coriander, ylang ylang, and I also love German chamomile.
Oh, okay. That's a new one.
Okay.
For our show.
Yeah. German chamomile is a very beautiful oil. It's blue. And so if you put it on yourself, it might look like you're slightly bruised there, but it will evaporate, so don't worry. You might just want to explain to, for example, your coworkers why you have these blue spots on your arm or your hand. So it also has a beautiful fragrance. German chamomile is a middle to top note oil. It's very, very good for stress. It is one of my favorite oils to use for stress. It works on the liver qi. As I mentioned before, the liver qi will stagnate. It won't move the way it should when you're under stress. So that can cause a lot of problems like headache, like PMS. And so it's very, very good for that. It has a cooling effect, so it's very good for fever. It's very good for pediatric fever. You just take one drop and put it on each of the soles of the feet and then rub it into the soles of the feet. I did this with my niece, who at the time was about a year and a half. She's a very happy baby. She never cried, but she had a cold and she was feeling sick and she had a fever and she was crying. And so I rubbed one drop each on her soles, and literally 3 seconds later, she stopped crying and her fever dropped because we took her temperature.
Wow.
So it's very, very effective in that sense.
Wow. And I just want to clarify, you said one drop each on her sole. Did you mean directly the oil or one drop and a little carrier oil? Or in that case, just directly one drop of the oil on her feet?
One drop of the oil direct. Any carrot. And so was that all of them? Another oil that do I have time to talk about one more oil?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Another oil that I love to use is geranium. And when I'm speaking of geranium, I mean the geranium that smells more like rose. And geranium, one of the great things about geranium, besides the fact that it smells wonderful, is that it's a cheap oil. German chamomile tends to be more pricey. It can be like $30 for 5 milliliters, whereas you can get 5 milliliters of geranium for $7 to $8. So it's very cost-effective. Geranium is also very, very good for stress, very good for liver qi stagnation. When you have anger that is rising up too much and maybe causing problems with your heart, this is a very good oil to use because it's cooling and it goes to the chest. It is a hormonal oil, so that is something to keep in mind because it is estrogenic. And so I use it a lot with my female patients who are having problems with menopausal symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats. And the reason for that in Chinese medicine is that it nourishes the yin. And I'm talking about yin as in yin and yang. Yin is more of substance. Yin can be fluid in the body. When you don't have enough yin, in this case kidney yin, to put out your heart fire, then it can create too much heat in the body, and it can also create problems like anxiety or irritability, insomnia. So geranium is a great oil for that. Also, in terms of high blood pressure, I always recommend to my patients who have a tendency towards high blood pressure to sniff geranium. You could easily carry around just like a little dram bottle of it with you, or you could make some smelling salts by getting a little dram bottle, the really thin, small bottles, and put some sea salt in there, and then maybe put like 5 to 10 drops of geranium in there. And then when you're starting to feel stress, when you're starting to feel those high blood pressure symptoms, just open the bottle and sniff it. And it will drop your blood pressure immediately. I actually tested this with one of my diabetic patients who had a tendency towards high blood pressure, and she dropped a lot of points immediately.
With geranium?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Geranium.
Yeah, it's definitely good stuff.
This is so, I mean... Yeah, and it smells good. Actually, it's funny. That's one that I actually don't like the smell of personally. But
okay.
Yeah,
well,
but
there are lots and lots of other oils.
Yeah. I wonder, just before we end. Well, I guess I'll ask you this: is there anything we haven't covered about essential oils that you just want to make sure you tell us about?
I would like to talk about frequency of application, and by that I mean if you're using essential oils for a short-term effect, you no matter what type of application you're using, whether you're putting it on the body, whether you're inhaling it, or you're diffusing it, you want to do it 3 days on, meaning 3 days of that application and 3 days of no application. Okay, alternating, and you can do that for an 18-day period, meaning 3 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off. And the reason you alternate is because you need to have time for those oils to evaporate, to unfold, and for them to have their effect on your body. You do not want to OD on essential oils. And people often think, oh, they're natural, they smell great, I'll just wear them every single day all the time. Mm-hmm. That is not what I would recommend, because they're very, very powerful, and if you use some of them too much, they can actually cause mental illness.
Wow. Or even throw you out off balance, I assume, too, at the I mean, in other ways too, you know, physically or just energetically. Get you out of balance, like too much of anything. We tend to think if something's good, then more is better, right?
Yes, exactly. That is the American way.
That's the American way. Yeah, that's really good to know. So for everyone to think about doing it 3 days on, 3 days off, and then after 18 days to sort of reconsider whether it's worked or if you need to keep doing it, or
exactly.
That's the purpose.
At that point,
okay.
Thank you for asking that. You evaluate at that point. You ask yourself if you were taking it for anxiety, am I feeling less anxious? If you're taking it for digestion, is my digestion better? If not, then it's time to go back to the oils or go back to your practitioner and say this didn't work, and then do a different blend. Or it could also involve maybe shifting the percentage of that oil that you use in the blend.
Mm-hmm. That is so. This that is really good information, and I knew this was going to be so informative, because I know you, but of course I learned a lot myself. There's a lot I didn't know, and so you've given us really so much information. Thank you for sharing your expertise and your knowledge, because on so many different levels, practical, you know, practically and historically, and it's just been really useful. So thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. It was very enjoyable, and I just want to let people know this is the very, very, very tip of the iceberg. This is like a molecule on the tip of the iceberg. There's so much about essential oils. They're very, very rich, and especially if you use Chinese medical principles in their application, it's vast what you can do with them.
Yeah, it sounds like it's an endless exploration, given your work with it over 10 years and still learning, right? Even and
absolutely.
Still exploring. So yeah. Well, thanks for sharing at least the tip with us, because I mean the tip of the iceberg with us, because this is still a really nice starting point. So.
Well, thank you again, Lena. This was really fun, as I knew it would be. Because our conversations are always fun.
Well, thank you. Yes, it was fun. I knew it would be too. So, yeah, have a wonderful evening. And I want to thank everyone who's listening as well. So take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.